Welcome to Season 4 of E-Commerce Fastlane. This podcast helps resilient entrepreneurs thrive with Shopify. And now on to episode 157.
You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company powered by Shopify. Listen to real conversations with partners and subject matter experts as they share proven practical strategies, platforms, and the best Shopify apps to help you accelerate your business. The time is now for you to improve efficiencies, grow revenue, profit, and lifetime customer loyalty. Please welcome your host, startup founder, and strategic advisor, Steve Hutt.
Today's episode is brought to you by our good friends at Vicely. Do you want to maximize the value of each visit to your store, both for the business and for the site visitor? Of course you do. Then look no further than Vicely, a flexible personalization and search solution for your Shopify business. Hundreds of Shopify merchants at every stage of their business lifecycle trust Vicely, from businesses that are just starting out to established brands with nine figures in annual sales. With Vicely, you will build a tailored user experience by adding personalized product touchpoints at every stage of the visitor journey on your Shopify store. Vicely's enterprise-grade tools like one-on-one, real-time personalization, A/B testing, predictive search, dynamic filters, and merchandising will ensure that your store visitors see the right products at the right time, which will boost critical metrics such as average order value and conversion rate. With Vicely's post-purchase and email recommendations, you will also drive repeat visits and sales by turning one-time buyers into repeat customers, which increases your lifetime value and your brand loyalty all in the same process. You can also get access to Vicely's best-in-class white glove support and customization services. Use their pre-built and custom widgets, search results, collection filters, and pages. Everything works together as far as building your brand experience perfectly. And all of this with blazingly fast response times too. So don't leave revenue on the table and don't waste the opportunity to convert visitors into loyal customers. Start today and find out how much Vicely will benefit your Shopify business. Head on over to Vicely.io or search for Vicely in the Shopify App Store to begin your 14-day free trial. No credit card required. Well, hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. If you're an ambitious, lifelong learner, then you're in the right place today. New episodes are available twice weekly with your favorite podcast player like Apple Podcast, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and many more. You can also stream current episodes, including a very relevant back catalog, directly from ecommercefastlane.com. Now, in today's episode, my guest is Eric Lam. He's the co-founder and president of a company called Aspire IQ, and they're an influencer marketing platform, and they help Shopify brands of all sizes and all complexities to drive revenue and assist in creating high-quality content. And it's a great conversation. There's a ton of learnings, and at the end of the show, I have a really, thank you so much for this, Eric, but there's an excellent, excellent listener-only promotion that's available at the end of the episode, so you can take the platform for a spin and get some discounts, and there's lots of great things happening. So hi, Eric, welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
My pleasure. I know we've been bouncing calendars a bit and finally synced up today. Influencer and this kind of creator economy, these partnerships, this is like really, really, really hot topics. I mean, a part of my quote-unquote day job along with this podcast really is, you know, I have a book of business and I get to interact with a lot of brands, and I know that this sort of channel marketing, I'm going to call it, this sort of acquisition is really on top of people's radar and super, super important to them. But I also find, and they know the benefits of it, or at least they believe they see the benefits because they're on social media. The challenge is they don't really know how to calculate the ROI. They don't feel that the return on ad spend is there for them, or they just don't have the technology to be able to figure it out and to execute correctly with the right creators and the right people, brand ambassadors. And so let's talk a little bit about your platform more on a high level first. Like, what does the Aspire IQ platform do and the problems that you're now solving for store owners?
Yeah, thanks for that. And I'm happy to go through all of those things. Obviously, it's a challenging world out there for a lot of, I think, people trying to get started in influencer marketing. So happy to go through a lot of my advice there. But at a really high level, Aspire IQ is a platform for brands to build and engage communities of influential people. And that ranges from social media influencers to even customers, fans, experts, and more. We were actually one of the first influencer platforms back when we started in 2013. And now we're fortunate enough to have over 400 brands as clients, from bigger names like Walmart and Samsung to e-com leaders like Purple, Glossier, and HelloFresh. And actually, in our last few years, our focus has really been tightly on e-commerce, where over 30% of our clients are on Shopify, ranging from billion-dollar market leaders to five-person companies. You know, for Shopify stores, really, if you kind of summarize it down, what we solve for you is building an in-house influencer program that drives real ROI. And that can mean anything from, for if you're a novice, setting up the and organizing the initial program, helping you source the first 50 influencers, and tracking promo codes and affiliate links to generate the first sales. Or for advanced users, it can mean something as robust as customizing a complete CRM solution with integrated workflows across hundreds of influencers, generating thousands of pieces of content that optimize your whole stack. And if you've ever run an influencer campaign, you'll know that it's really challenging, and especially if you've all you've got are spreadsheets and email. So I think the three biggest problems we solve for are, number one, finding the right influencers to create content for you. Number two, managing the complex workflow between, you know, your brand and hundreds or even thousands of influencers in your community. And number three, analyzing the revenue and the ROI that your program is driving, which, hey, shout out to Shopify, is easiest to do using our Shopify integration. And I think where we really made our bread and butter is that second one, in building workflow. And I think the reason that's the case is that even if you've built like a small program, that's where you're spending all your time. And these programs can become these massive, cumbersome projects with hundreds of things to juggle between communication streams, data organization, contracts, product shipping, promo codes, payments, all this kind of stuff. And when we actually first started the company, like, we were running campaigns with our own product, and we spent a year doing that and realized that, wow, like, this is the reason a platform like ours today needed to exist. And because of that, typically clients come in and they're able to work with, you know, 5 to 10 times the number of influencers they were prior to us in a fraction of the time.
So you've actually got like two parts to it, just kind of what I understand then, to kind of summarize. So there is a little bit of this hand-holding, kind of a white glove service for kind of the early stage people that just don't really know what to do. And you have some best practices and some case studies that prove that, no, based on this vertical and what you're doing, and we know what success looks like, we know what great looks like, we recommend X, Y, and Z, we'll help you do that to get you up and running. Oh no, okay, you've done influencers in the past, maybe more mature brands, then all of a sudden you have significantly more workflow and technology to be able to handle all of that. And then that would be a team of people that would handle it more in-house, but access to your platform.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, I think one of the big learnings we had in the last few years is we started a team called our strategy team, and their job, when you first get started, before you even get into the platform, is essentially figuring out your marketing goals and how that aligns to a best practice strategy going forward. And it's really important, especially for, you know, if you're a novice brand, kind of building the program for the first time, to do that. And I think that, yeah, I think to your point about the product itself, the great part about Aspire IQ, sorry, I'm tooting my own horn a little bit, is that, you know, in our early days, we built a lot of features to kind of streamline and guide the process, because back then nobody knew what they were doing, right? Like, nobody knew how to do influencer marketing. So we were doing everything from building trust between both sides, giving you recommendations on like what to say and how to price and all these kinds of things. And that became kind of the reason why a lot of brands came on board. And I think more recently, the market has just gotten so sophisticated that everything needs to be customized and automated and kind of like tailored to the secret sauce solution that, you know, brands nowadays have. And so regardless of if you're a novice or if you're an advanced user like that, I think we've got a really great platform for both.
So let's talk about the journey of the founders. I understand there's four of you, but I just would like to understand that story and kind of how you guys all met and just what you believe I guess, uniquely positioned, because usually a founding team, there's usually some strengths and some weaknesses. And the whole idea of building a great team is to, first of all, identify your weaknesses and not fix those, double down your strengths. And so it sounds like you have some complementary things going on from what I've read, but we'd just love to share some of the desires and the expertises around the people that have built this platform.
Yeah, it's funny. I've read that advice too, and I don't know that a lot of that thinking went into the planning stages of our startup. But you know, for better or for worse. But yeah, we've actually got a 4-person founding team, and I think we've been around for 7 years, and I think unlike most founding teams that are that big and have been around for that long, we're still all together, and I think that's pretty rare. I guess we've got something going right. Dating back to our early days, probably 7-8 years ago, Anand, who's actually our CEO and our original founder, he started this first. And was basically running influencer campaigns out of his apartment with no tech. And the other three of us worked at a company called Pocket Gems, where I was running product. It's a mobile app and gaming company where I was running product, and the two other guys were developers there. And I think the way I really got hooked on this was, you know, back then Instagram was pretty new. Like, they had just gotten acquired by Facebook. And I think, you know, the idea of building a business on Instagram, or for Instagram to have any meaningful impact on commerce at all, was pretty novel. But, you know, the way we were doing customer acquisition, like, I saw firsthand how social media, and especially Facebook and Instagram on mobile, were going to change the game. Even though back then, most mobile ads were for games like ours. So I got really into this concept, and we all started the company together, I think late 2013. And, you know, the early days were really tough because we were super early and not a lot of brands were really doing this. And we were basically begging people to let us like run campaigns for them or do anything for them for free. And we didn't have a lot of existing to the point of kind of matching skills and expertise. None of us came from a marketing background, so we didn't really have these connections to consumer brands the way that some competitors did. But that kind of gave us an advantage in a way, if I were to put a silver lining on it, where, you know, most competitors at the time were kind of these like glorified agencies because that's what they were used to. And we were really the only ones building a full software solution, because that's kind of what we realized. The only way that we're going to compete is by having the best software. Because we didn't have connections to P&G, we had to kind of get our start working with these small e-commerce brands, which, you know, even through today, have been a really core focus for us. I think the other thing is, like, the thing that we've gotten really into, to your point about kind of like passion and drive, is like we've just been from the start dedicated to growing the creator economy and making content creators successful. I mean, even that back then was a pretty new concept. Now, creator economy now is a very like hot topic and everything, but, you know, dating all the way back then, even though we're on pace this year to pay out like $30 to $40 million to creators, we've never taken a percentage cut, and we've always tried to be really, really friendly to the creator economy. And we would just eat, sleep, and breathe that stuff. And I think we had this motto back then of like, quote unquote, Don Draper is dead. And it was kind of like this metaphor for the way that the media world has flipped from top down to bottom up, where you think about so much of the content nowadays, and it's all coming from these ordinary people, you know, not big corporations or ad agencies. And that's even more true today than when we started. So I think, you know, even though the space is really mature now, like, I mean, if you're talking about 2021 versus 2013, I think we're kind of at the tip of the iceberg, really, when it comes to the impact that these influencers, content creators are going to have on commerce.
Thanks for sharing that. You know, I downloaded a report that you created, or you, part of the marketing team, I guess, created this report, the 2021, I think it was the state of influencer marketing. And be quite honest with you, it's an epic piece of content. I have shared it with a lot of brands, people that are like, you know, asking more questions about like, I want to expand my knowledge about like, well, what's hot today? And where does my mind need to be? And what does great look like when it comes to influencer marketing? And I'm going to make sure that I put a link to your landing page, so for those listening today, they can download this report, because it really does talk about just the overall evolution of what's happened in 2020, more specifically with the pandemic, and kind of what's happened with people being at home and being on social media and then not able to do like full-blown photo shoots and brands. So everybody's on social, everybody's on their phone. And then what happened with social, and then the competitiveness, and then bringing it all back to community. So I don't want to give away this doc too much, but it was really, it's really, really, really well done. So I want to make sure I give you some public recognition of the marketing team that put that together along with your team's help. But I'd love to understand now a little more, if you could maybe unpack that a little bit and just, I mean, people can read it, but it's nice to hear in this podcast today, you know, if you're able to share any tips or just understand just the state of influencer marketing today, maybe from 2020, now we're in 21, and any strategies that you can share for brands listening today.
Yeah, and first of all, thanks so much for talking about the content. That they'll really appreciate that, and they obviously put a ton of work into that. I think we process in the tens of thousands of transactions in influencer marketing now, so I think we've got an incredible wealth of data to try to share out with a lot of brands today, and you know that's definitely our goal there. Yeah, I would say that you know we're really in the state of the world in influencer marketing, probably more interesting than we've ever been. I think if you look at the past of influencer marketing, I think in a lot of ways influencer marketing gets a bit of a bad rep in terms of probably what I would call like the earlier days of influencer marketing, where people focused on, you know, vanity metrics and just hiring Kardashians and celebrities and people like that, and didn't really know what they were doing. And I think that led to a lot of like inauthentic type of posts and collaborations by people. And I think people started associating influencer marketing with kind of selling out, so to speak. And I think that because of that, I mean, what you're seeing in a lot of the more successful e-commerce brands that we've really, you know, worked with is kind of a shifting focus towards both content and then kind of niche and smaller influencers. Because you've got this really incredibly rich long tail, like the growth of the creator economy and the benefit of it is that you have the incredibly long tail of micro influencers that are just trusted experts in whatever their subject matter is. And they have incredibly engaged audiences that really trust their opinion. And I think in addition to that, like brands have really started to look at influencers as these truly holistic content creators, rather than just like, hey, what's your audience look like? And how can I like make an ad for your audience? The combination of those things have been, you know, really interesting, because then, you know, you can kind of build these great programs and communities of people that can make content on an ongoing basis for you, can be great advocates for you, and you can kind of utilize that content and harness it for all of your marketing through your social media, your e-commerce, through paid and everything else. And I think that's probably been happening over the last like couple of years, I would say, in terms of what's been going on. I think the stage we're in today, like 2021, is that trend is even going more to the extreme, where like brands aren't just doing this for influencers, so to speak. They're doing it, they're kind of expanding the definition of like, quote unquote, who's like influential for their brand. And that could be top customers, it could be power users, experts, working professionals, you know, really whichever groups of people have the greatest word of mouth impact on, you know, the customers they're trying to win over. And I think that's really interesting, because it means that, you know, if you're a brand, as long as your values and your product, you know, really mean something to your customers, any brand can really be successful at building these communities. You don't have to have special access to types of influencers or have like the biggest budget to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for these types of partnerships. It can really be grown organically and successfully.
And I noticed too that when you talk about the whole creator economy, you're talking about like just being authentic, because I feel that you're right with some of these celebrity, I call them celebrity endorsements, because that's really what they are. They're just endorsement deals. It doesn't resonate with them at all. It really is just, you know, money for a recommendation. And I think my wife's even made this comment even recently of the people she's following on Instagram. She can tell and she knows and just appreciates the fact a little bit that there can be some ads in there or some endorsements done by some of these influencers. The challenge is that when it comes to being every second post is something different again, and there's just no way that this person, well, it's been a couple people that she's blocked now, but there's just no way that they have that kind of affinity towards that many different products. So after a while, people start to sniff that out. But now I also see some benefits, and I've been mentioning this to quite a few brands that I manage, and you mentioned just a moment ago too. It's like, imagine trying to find people who are already your customers, even if it is a micro niche, kind of a smaller market. I mean, there's even tools in the App Store. I'm sure your platform even has this ability, but it's interesting to be able to understand the social footprint of a particular customer of yours, and there's tools to do this through the API, and then say, okay, thank you for making a purchase on my website. And now all of a sudden it knows that you have 5,000 followers on Instagram because it's connected to the API as long as it's the same email address. And then you're like, okay, wait, I'm going to flag this order and I'm going to reach out to this person, automated or however you're going to do it. But at least you want to build a relationship or throw something extra in the box. Thank you so much for your order. Oh, and by the way, we believe you're in the sweet spot of someone that could maybe spread the message a little further about what we're all about. So does that idea ring a bell at all to you, or is that something that you see people doing more recently now where it's their customers, but they're trying to understand their social footprint?
Yeah, I think it's one of the biggest trends that we've seen over the last year, and is we call it ambassador or ambassador marketing. You know, ambassador, I think, can cover a lot of different things. It really just means, you know, how can you find word of mouth advocates for your brand? And again, they could be anybody, but typically I think people start with customer programs like this. And I think, yeah, I think it's incredibly popular nowadays because it really is like this community of people that starts with people who are really excited to talk about you. I've seen it done a few different ways. I think if you were to kind of ask me for my advice on how to think about this, it can start very simply. Like you can literally make, you know, an email address on your social media or like a simple landing page, like you said, after checkout or something like that, or as part of your email marketing drip program, and just make it something that's really easy to engage with. Like allow people to opt in who are excited to talk about you. And you'll find that they really do. Like it won't be, you know, 100% of the customers that come through, but you will get people to apply to you, whether it's through any of those different channels. And when they join, you know, my advice would be to really engage with them. Honestly, like the thing that I think the biggest struggle people have with building a program like this is that it's slow. It's slow because it's like each of these people, it's not like they're, you know, 100,000 followers on Instagram. They're everyday regular people, but their word of mouth really matters because when they talk about something, you know, their friends, their network, their connections, they know that they really support that thing and they're excited to talk about it to the people that they know and that they network with. The way to think about these is first engage with them, do things that kind of show that you care and that like you kind of share these brand values with them, things like that. You can do things like setting up affiliate links and referral links for them, giving them kind of special promotions if they were to drive any type of sales for you. And, you know, if you get enough of these, you can really start to see like who are the people that are really spreading word of mouth for you, because you'll be able to see it in the analytics. You'll be able to see it in their social mentions, in the potentially even sales that they're driving for you. And you can start to kind of double down and invest in the people that are really driving the most word of mouth. You can start giving them exclusive access to events, product launches, things that make them feel special, early access to things. Again, it can be really time consuming without, you know, a platform to drive all this stuff. I mean, you look at a company like the biggest kind of paradigm of all this is like a Glossier. Glossier is, you know, now one of the hottest kind of direct-to-consumer beauty brands in the world, but they started as basically a community of just regular people who loved Emily Weiss's beauty blog, and they kind of really got into engaging with them. They would invite them into the office to try products out. They would get their feedback on like every campaign that came out. They would feature them in all of their marketing programs. And they might, and most of these people are just regular everyday customers of Glossier. They're not necessarily like big influencers or celebrities or anything like that, but they just grew this organic community from scratch. And, you know, now they're one of the biggest beauty brands in the world, not because they've spent the most money on advertising, but because they have this like rabid fan base community that gives them this like incredible wealth of organic growth.
So let's talk about the ROI. I think it's important conversation, like people want to invest in marketing to make money based on their investment in it. And they know it's not easy. I mean, you've mentioned a couple of great things here. It's important to have the right influencers that resonate with the brand and they're authentic. And I think those are all great points. But I've also had a lot of brands that have dabbled a bit and maybe they haven't put the full strategy behind it correctly. They haven't dug deep into the learnings that are available in the marketplace right now. A lot of them have commented a little bit that maybe the ROI was like a lot lower than expected. And so, you know, what are some of the biggest mistakes? Because I'm sure you see a lot of success, but you also see some failures of just poor execution or a different platform or whatever. I would love to understand it more from your perspective about what's working and then maybe what wasn't working in influencer today.
Yeah, I'll kind of try to answer both parts of that. I would say that like in terms of number one, the mistakes that I've seen that kind of lead to, you know, poorer performance. And then I think number two, kind of how to measure that ROI, which I think is a really great question. And I think we could spend the whole podcast talking about it, frankly. In terms of number one, I would say that like the biggest mistake I see brands make, and I see this with billion-dollar companies down to, you know, 5-person companies, is kind of really seeing this as advertising, because it's not. Like, I think that if you think about what this is, you're really engaging with the person on the other side, and it's not kind of a programmatic like ad placement. And I think number one, the thing that people don't do that is a mistake is not building a relationship with that person, because, you know, they're going to have these like nuanced feelings, like exactly what you said about not wanting to be inauthentic, valuing what their audience thinks about them. And, you know, having the empathy to make sure you're communicating with all that understanding is, you know, so that they're excited about partnering with you and genuinely excited about working with you as a brand is really, really important. And I think number two is kind of making sure you're taking a co-creation approach with them in the content. This, I think, is especially true with a lot of bigger brands that have, you know, millions of dollars of creative budgets, and they're used to kind of like making sure that their $50,000 photo shoot has like the brand safe everything in terms of all the content they're putting together. But, you know, at the end of the day, like the point of working with these influencers is you're able to harness their personality and their creativity that's unique to them. And I think that if you're forcing them to fit in this tightly defined box, again, bringing up the inauthenticity word, like that's going to be something that, you know, people smell from a mile away. So that's kind of, I would say, is like a very typical, you know, set of mistakes I see from, you know, brands that generally don't see the type of performance that they would like in terms of the ROI and influencer marketing. In terms of how to measure that ROI, I would say that that's the second reason why people don't see the ROI, is because they didn't really have, I would say, like a good framework for how to think about this in the first place. And again, one of the reasons we actually started our strategy team was to kind of set this in place for them from the start, because I think if you don't even have an understanding of like how you're going to like view this at the end of the year or the next 2 years or however long, you can't succeed, actually. So obviously, you know, I think every program starts with sales, especially when it comes to, you know, this is an e-commerce podcast. So I think everybody's looking to drive revenue. So if you're doing it right, I think you'll be able to establish a baseline where you're using unique promo codes and affiliate links for each of your influencers. You're making sure to kind of seed them with those codes and links and tracking it all kind of more holistically so that you can get, you know, how many conversions they're driving, how many clicks they're driving, email signups, app downloads, things like that, that are more directly trackable. You'll be able to see, you know, things like Google Analytics, where you can see increases in referral sources from social media driving traffic and sales. I think one other trend that we're starting to see in 2021 specifically is that a lot of the social networks are really serious about pushing their own commerce channels like Instagram Shopping. So we're really excited about, you know, our partnership with Facebook and being able to drive that for more of our clients. So I would say that's like the direct sales portion of the ROI picture. And I think that's, you know, that's the part that like isn't really that confusing. Like most people understand how to see direct sales from their marketing channels. But I would say that like the thing that is confusing is like, okay, what else? Because, you know, obviously that's only a small portion of the story. Like influencer marketing, you're getting a lot of great brand awareness and consideration. But if you're all you're doing is measuring direct sales, you're missing out on every person who, you know, sees influencer posts and then immediately opens their browser and goes direct to the site. So beyond sales, I think there's a couple ways that I encourage brands to look at this. Number one, you know, if you have the capability, I would think about the overall lift you're seeing across marketing channels. It really depends on like what that means, whether it's sales lift or something more nuanced. Back when I worked in mobile games, the way we did this is that we looked at influencer awareness as a way of increasing the conversion rates on our ads. And I think in the early days of Revolve, they did this as well, from what I understand, because, you know, users would see 3-4 influencer posts prior to an ad and have immediate consideration when they're seeing the ad rather than trying to convert them cold. And it helps if you're kind of arranging these influencer campaigns into concentrated periods and campaigns, so that kind of creates that feeling amongst the audience that, you know, wow, everybody's talking about this thing, in addition to giving you like a easier window to obviously measure lift, because that's the more technical reason. Another way I love looking at it is, you know, looking at the ROI of the content you're getting. Because at the end of the day, like I kind of talked about before, these influencers are co-creating these incredible assets that you can be used in almost any channel. First of all, there's like the value of the content itself, which, as you talked about, especially during COVID, first of all, it costs a lot less than professional shoot. But, you know, like you said, like when everyone's at stay at home, it's been such a big deal for our customers who didn't have access to their photo studios and their typical production process to have this, you know, great, essentially extension of their creative team to make all this content for them in a distributed manner. And, you know, what's really even more interesting is like, what's the value to your performance team? If you've got like a big paid budget, if you're doing a lot of acquisition that way, in having 10 times the amount of videos and images along with the whitelisted social accounts, which means, you know, kind of doing a takeover of the influencers' social accounts to run ads through their account to build your performance strategy around. And every time we kind of talk through that with a paid social team about building this robust content engine that's going to help them scale spend and reduce CPA, their eyes light up. So it's kind of like, what's the value of that? You know, there's a lot of like really great, and obviously these are very like broad frameworks of how to think about it, but those are kind of two of the like really high level ways I typically tell clients to think about. For e-commerce brands, I tend to not advise things like, hey, just look at awareness and views and likes, because I mean, at the end of the day, it's hard to justify for most companies, especially in the e-commerce world.
I find a lot of education comes out of, well, part of the e-commerce Fastlane blogs. I do syndicate a lot of content around influencers, including your blog, and I do subscribe to yours. And I've read a lot of your case studies with Shopify brands and other CMSs too. But I think that's where a lot of the learnings for me come from. And I think that's part of why I have this podcast. I want to give back to the ecosystem. I want to let people know that you're right. Maybe on a 30, 40 minute podcast, we're not going to learn all the strategies that are necessary. But I think today is just getting the mindset, understand that there is technology, but there also is the human capital of creating and working with creators to get great assets that are leverageable. But the ROI portion of it, you're right. You can't directly attribute to some vanity metrics. There has to be an overall game plan of, well, how are we executing on this? I just love the idea of you said about just more organic kind of placements through takeovers and then an ad that more professional ad that flows through. And when people start talking about it, it's a really good 1-2 punch, I think. And I think I've seen that before where, you know, people talking about it, this, that, the next thing. And then all of a sudden there's a more polished ad that comes just because there's that awareness and consideration phase before conversion. So I love that part. And so I would love to hear a case study or a success story. I know you mentioned Glossier. I don't know if that's one you want to talk about today, but it'd just be great to inspire people that are listening today just to understand like what is a successful influencer campaign today, and if maybe you can share why they were successful.
Yeah, I mean, so I talked about Glossier. Obviously, I would say that's a really good example of someone who has taken a community building approach to and kind of doing that really slow burn to kind of galvanizing customers, you know, over time and creating a word of mouth almost kind of engine around them. I think a really good example also is Purple Mattress. So they're another one of our clients. And I think they've taken a more traditional approach. What they're doing is really trying to test and invest constantly. So they'll find influencers that fit their criteria in terms of the types of audiences they're trying to reach, the type of content they're trying to utilize, and really just trying to figure out like, hey, like let's just constantly keep trying to find new influencers, figure out what kind of content's working for them, for their audiences, test some of that content in our paid channels. Hey, if that works, let's formalize an agreement for like a longer period of time with them. Let's get some like whitelisting access for them. And I think that they're just a very analytically driven company. And so I think if you take an approach like that, it can really work from that way of measuring ROI, where you can start relatively small, but it really snowballs because you start to learn so much about the type of content, the type of influencer, the type of channel, and the type of message that really resonates with different types of audiences from different types of influencers. Because like I said, there's so many different types of niches and verticals when it comes to the influencer space. This space has like gotten to be very rich and mature like that. So being able to really test and invest over the course of a year to find even like 5 to 10 influencers that you can build long-term partnerships with and potentially lock in these like really great agreements with to make almost the face of your advertising and your marketing stack, I would say is a really good approach to anybody thinking about building a larger scale influencer program.
Love it. Thank you so much for sharing that. I just loved being inspired by by, you know, kind of the what brand people like to inspire or be inspired by other brands that are on Shopify. I mean, there's 1.7 million brands on Shopify, and there's a lot of people trying to figure out their way in this world. And I think that's why I have you on today, just to kind of get the mindset and the strategy in order. And we'll dig into the platform a little further in a moment. But let's talk about the future for Aspire IQ. Are you able to maybe share the North Star, I guess, for the remainder of 21? And just end of the day, I just want to understand more about how the platform is going to continue to kind of iterate and evolve just as the market evolves.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely, I think, Bryce, selfishly, I probably talked a lot about the things here that fit really well with what we're trying to obviously enable on the platform. I'm really excited that we just, this last week, unveiled the latest version of our platform that we codenamed Elevate. That kind of gives a lot of the access and the functionality that we've been talking about around community building, around working with non-influencers and customers and people like that. And I think that the thing that's been really powerful that we're really excited about is that I think before previous versions of our platform really focused on kind of like just influencer marketing and kind of how to streamline the transaction between brand and influencer. And like I said, nowadays, what we're seeing is so much sophistication between the way communications are fragmented across email, text, DM, or customized data and analytics, and how brands have their own kind of secret sauce workflow. One of the newest features of the new platform is that we've basically launched a complete functioning CRM that's been purposely designed for influencer marketing and community building so that brands can kind of just build their own proprietary workflows on top of everything that they're doing on Aspire IQ. And that entails like a lot of like different apps and an app ecosystem that kind of sits on top of the Aspire IQ platform. Some of the initial apps are actually pretty specific to Shopify, such as, like I was talking about before, the promo code generation and affiliate tracking, ability to pay out influencers based on affiliates, the ability to ship products through your Shopify store straight from our platform. And I think, like, I think you had mentioned this earlier in the podcast, being able to kind of merge your Shopify customer data with your social data so you can see, you know, who from among your customers is already influential that you can kind of, again, reach out to them and start building their community. So a lot of stuff around, I think, you know, e-commerce, but especially the Shopify experience that we're really targeting for 2021.
So it sounds like you're playing really nicely with existing tech stack, I think sounds like part of it, because I'm sure some of these different tools maybe people are using kind of individually, but you're suggesting that there is some kind of native connections inside the new version of Aspire IQ to be able to leverage some of these other tools that are available.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, this is a completely independent shout out, but there's a company called Tray that we got embedded with where they enable a lot of these types of integration partnerships with other, you know, pieces of the marketing stack. So whether it's Yotpo for driving reviews or, you know, Attentive for driving SMS communication, things like that. Those are things that are kind of on our radar in terms of plugging into the other parts of the MarTech stack to make sure that we're a core functioning piece of, you know, community building, but also fits with everything else that, you know, every e-commerce brand is working on.
Well, I've really enjoyed our conversation today. Do you have any takeaways that you would like to leave with our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, influencer marketing is, you know, incredibly powerful, but it can also be, you know, especially for your commerce business, a huge waste of money if done the wrong way. So I think, you know, really thinking about how you can start small, work incrementally, test and invest. And I think not trying to, you know, just blow out a budget on something and focusing on vanity metrics, but really starting small, starting with your customers or smaller influencers and seeing what type of content really resonates with people and how that fits within the existing ROI framework of how you're measuring your performance today, I think is just really, really important for, you know, really any brand of any size.
Perfect. And how can people learn more about Aspire IQ? And I guess you have an academy and you have lots of stuff.
Yeah, so obviously go to aspireiq.com. I think we're also going to have a landing page, I think, with you guys. Yes, the Academy is an incredible resource. So we actually try to sign up a lot of our early customers, especially if they're novices, but honestly, even if they're pretty experienced, we've put together effectively an entire set of courses for brands that we've collected, not from us actually, but from a lot of our most successful customers and different brands all over the world, and how the lessons that they've learned, the way they think about each step of the process in building an influencer program. I think that's a really great resource. It's completely free. You don't have to, you know, sign up for anything in terms of getting that. And I think we've got a special link, www.aspire.com. irq.com/ecommerce-fastlane. I think that's the best way to learn. And then, like you said, the State of the Influencer Marketing Report, if you're interested in stats and data and kind of like where we're sitting today in terms of the world of influencer marketing, I think that's a really great resource as well.
Love it. I'll make sure I have that in the show notes. I think that's, like I said, it really is an epic piece of content. And there was lots of great learnings in there. And I like how it's all divided up to understand where we were, where we're going, how social media fits into them, and then the proper creator economy and the authenticity. A lot of things we've talked about today, but all summarized correctly in a nice document that's shareable for marketing teams and founders. And so I also will redirect, to your landing page, fastlane.com/AspireIQ. I know we spoke offline before recording today, and maybe if you can share, we have a few different offers that those that are near the end of the episode now, and you see that maybe it's time to get involved with influencer marketing and maybe take the platform for a spin, if you can share some of the details on that.
Absolutely. So I think just for your listeners, we're going to be offering a free month out of a 12-month contract for anybody who signs up using the promotion through your landing page. And we also run a small business discount where if you're under 50 employees and you're under $10 million in revenue, we have like a 50% discount for all customers in that way, because obviously we want to be really supportive of the Shopify ecosystem and entrepreneurs everywhere.
Love it. Thank you so much for that. I think, you know, once again, for those that are listening today, if you've not done influencer or you've felt some pains of it not being successful in whatever KPIs that you believe are important, I think we've learned that there are ways of executing correctly. I know that the Aspire IQ blog has a lot of really good case studies about what others have done in a lot of different verticals. So there's lots of learnings available. So I just highly recommend go to aspireiq.com, subscribe to their blog, read their case studies, go into their community and learn more through all the work they put. Honestly, like this academy is, I haven't dug into that yet, but that's one of my next things on my list, along with other things that I'm working on. But I've got to dig into that too, because I believe the education is there. You just got to pause and take a time to actually do the work. And so I just wanted to thank you for, you know, coming on the show. Thanks for putting all this together today. You know, once again, it's proof to me that both you and the team, you really guys are really in tight alignment with Shopify. And I really appreciate that. You really want to improve efficiencies and just help people grow revenue and all that. And just thanks for sharing your knowledge and giving back today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much, Steve. I really appreciate being here. And as always, trying to support the Shopify ecosystem as much as we can.
All right. Have yourself a great day. Today's episode is brought to you by Vicely, a flexible personalization and search solution for your Shopify business. Hundreds of Shopify brands use Vicely to grow their businesses, convert store visitors into happy, loyal customers with highly relevant product touchpoints throughout the customer's initial and repeat journeys. With seamless Shopify integration, one-to-one personalization, A/B testing, over 20 pre-built and custom widgets, predictive search, dynamic filters, merchandising, I mean, literally everything you need, best-in-class support, it does it all. Vicely is the perfect solution for efficient e-commerce teams that are focusing on growing the business and not their workload. So start today and find out how Vicely can help accelerate the growth of your Shopify business. Visit Vicely.io or search for Vicely in the Shopify App Store to begin your 14-day free trial. No credit card required. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you personally for being a loyal listener of E-commerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company powered by Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.